All right, get on your bikes and ride. The time is 6:09 p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby, also 91.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at koop.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show Radio's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hotta.
Oh, you dirty son of a bitch.
All right.
And my name is Hot Levels. Got some hot levels, got some hot lava.
Hang on.
And now the most important part of the show. My name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we usually open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and join in today's conversation, the phone number is 472-5667. Do you like letters over numbers? 472-K-O-O-P. Anything said on this show is probably just the opinion, by probably, I mean definitely just the opinion of David and myself. Nobody else.
Yeah, nobody else. Man, my levels. Sorry, folks.
It's a hot levels.
Seriously. My goodness. What did we just hear, Mac?
We just heard Broken Social Scene off of their forthcoming album, Forgiveness Rock Record, that was Forced to Love. A song you could stream off of their website at the moment.
Oh, how very nice of them. Uh-oh, it's a New Music Saturday because off of their self-titled album, Fang Island, their hit single, Daisy. I like it. It's pleasant there. How are you, Mac?
I am tired, man.
You look it. You look a little worse for wear today.
Just a bit of running around. And as soon as I leave here, I got to take off and go to a wedding.
Aww,
yay!
Love is in the air.
My buddy Maddie.
Yeah.
Who plays for the co-op Kilowatt softball team.
Uh-oh. When is softball talk going to start up again?
We've already played. Have I not talked about it?
No, you have not.
We've already played one game, 1-0.
Oh, very nice.
To guess. Black Star Co-op. The first skull in our skull pile.
They're an expansion team, though, right?
They are.
Yeah.
Yes, and so they're all extremely nice, and not one of them was drunk.
What? It's Black Star Co-op, though.
I didn't even see beer on their side, to be honest
with
you.
That's dumb.
I was a little... there was beer on our side. Co-op.
That's rookie.
Yeah, but 1-0, undefeated so far. Top of the mountain.
Awesome. Good for you.
I don't know who we play next, but whoever it is...
are going to pummel you.
Start crying now, other team. If you're listening to this, begin your weeping.
Well, that's sportsmanly of you.
Here come the kilowatts.
Yeah.
Yup. How are you, David?
I'm awesome. Sorry about that.
I thought you were like, I'm awesome. That's my elephant noise.
No, I've been under the weather for like 3 weeks now, and I can't seem to shake it. And I have this weird gruff voice now, but it makes me sound masculine, sort of. I'm doing all right. Got a little headache, a little hot in the studio for some reason. I was driving on the way here listening to some basketball, and I heard an ad that cracked me up for Subway sandwiches.
Yes.
I'm not promoting Subway sandwiches. I'm just mentioning them because their new ad campaign, I don't know if you know this, Mac.
Don't.
Newsflash, pepperoni is the new bacon. They are pushing
really?
Pepperoni on all their sandwiches now.
Look, pepperoni is delicious.
Oh, of course it is. My goodness.
But new bacon, I don't know.
Yeah, because bacon is top of the mountain. It's you can't touch it. But like, yeah, pepperoni, this dark horse contender out of left field. It's like, hey, you love that pizza? Yeah, I do. We'll put it on your veggie sandwich. And it's like, well, I feel like you're missing the point. It's like, put it on your meatball sub. It's like, that's overkill.
I remember when I was a kid and we would make these little French... Oh, wait, excuse me. English muffin. French. Screw that. French bread pizza. English muffin pizzas.
Uh-huh.
And so you buy the pepperoni, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Just, you know. And I would used to sneak that out of the fridge and eat them. And I remember, like, I could actually, like, feel how bad my breath was after eating, like, an entire thing of pepperoni.
Yeah.
And as a kid, however, I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, I always thought it was weird that they, like, you know, Lunchables, the venerable brand of snack treats or whatever, you know, the bologna and cheese and the crackers, they came out with like a make your own pizza, but it's still cold. Like it's just cold dough. And then you slap some tomato sauce and pepperoni on top of it. That has to be disgusting.
Wait, so you don't cook it?
No. Well, cause it's
for stupid.
It's for, it's like pizza on the go.
It's not pizza.
No, it's not pizza.
Even cold pizza has got to be cooked first to make it cold pizza.
Yeah, exactly. This is just, I might have it wrong. I don't know. 4725667.
I'll say my hat's off to Subway though. Cause,
Trying
something new. I mean, that's as stupid as it sounds. It's almost a bit daring.
It is. It's daring, but like you're asking people to get on board with something they've never even really thought of.
I wonder if people quit over this. Like they're in the boardroom or whatever, and it's like, all right, so what do we got for our new line of pepperoni subs? I was like, how about this? Pepperoni's the new bacon. And somebody like flips out.
You're
like,
mad.
You're insane. Bacon is bacon. You can't make new. I don't want any part of this.
When my father, Jedediah Subway, started Subway sandwiches years ago, he said no pepperoni and no collards. And we stuck to one of those.
They look at I got no comments about that. Didn't see that coming, Jedediah.
Nope. Take that, Mr. Subway.
Yes. Whoa. What is that? Sorry.
What?
A large clump of, I think, squirrel just blew in front of the co-op studio.
Oh, yeah, actually.
I don't know what that is. Hopefully not. Sorry.
That was blocking a parking space earlier, and I did not park in that space.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's the tumbleweeds going across our show.
Oh, yes. Speaking of tumbleweeds, we got us a caller. K-O-O-P, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah. I remember those Lunchable pizzas.
Okay. What's your name, caller?
Ben.
So are they cookable or are they just cold?
No, they're cold, but they've also been around for 15 years. I ate those as a kid.
Oh, really?
Like in the mid-90s. Yeah, they were disgusting.
Okay.
I can't believe they still make them.
That was my next question was, are they any good? So thank you.
Yeah, no, they're horrible.
Were they bought against your will, or was this something like, as a kid, you're like,
oh, yeah,
I love
definitely.
Pizza.
Yeah, my mother would buy them, and they were bad. But yeah, they've been around for a long, long time.
Really? Okay.
Man, that's breaking my heart a little bit because, you know, the promise of pizza is so strong when you're a kid.
And that's not pizza at all. It's dough, like you said.
So is it like chewy?
I don't know why they're still making it 15 years later.
Well, there's got to be a market for it somewhere.
We may have to take a bullet, eat one on the air. Ben, thank you for calling in.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Ben coming correct.
Helping out.
With some information. Yeah.
So
it's kind of like Taco Bell, though.
Uh-huh.
Because Taco Bell, they're like, hey, we need to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now we're just a lunch and dinner restaurant.
Yeah.
Should we go breakfast? And like the Taco Bell CEO like swung around in his chair and he's like, we're not going to the breakfast, gentlemen. We're going to the moon. What? Fourth meal.
that was brilliant.
They created a new meal instead of going for breakfast.
Exactly. It's like they heard my my heart murmurs and they're like, this guy needs more food at 3 a.m.
That's like they swam halfway across the English Channel, turned around, swam to America.
What?
Yep.
That doesn't make any sense.
Makes total sense. How dare you stand in the way of...
They got here just in time for fourth meal.
Giant business. Crush you. This country's a steamroller, David. Get out of the way.
Why am I... I'm a part of this country.
It'll smash you like a Chinese-made lead toy. Right?
And we're taking on all comers today.
Right?
So what else is on tap for the show today, Mac?
What else is on tap? Oh, what are we going to talk about? Oh, last week in the show. Thank you.
Yes.
Last week in the show, I mentioned a thought I had.
That's right. Yes.
About trying to stop saying I'm sorry. It looks like that giant thing of like squirrel meat is blowing away. I don't think it's squirrel meat. I don't know what it is.
No, it's somebody's toupee, I think.
If it's a tumbleweed, it's in cloth form and it has a tail.
If somebody could come to the studio and pick it up out from the door and just hold it up.
Only if you can catch it in your mouth.
Yes, in your giant maw.
Yeah. Put some mandibles on it. Anyway, I mentioned that I didn't want to say I'm sorry anymore.
Yes.
I was going to try and cut down on my I'm sorrys.
Mm-hmm.
Threefold. One, not to overuse it.
Sure.
Because then when you are actually sorry about something, it has more impact. Two, stop doing things that would cause me to say I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, like being a jerk, showing up late, this kind of thing.
Right.
And also, just, you know, I don't know. It's like a sign of weakness. Like, let's say I bump into somebody on the bus.
Yeah.
I go, oh, I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry. I just, like, want them to know I didn't do it on purpose.
Uh-huh.
I don't really, like, you know, it's like, it's a little thing. Who cares? I bumped into you.
Right.
Just don't whip out a switchblade and bleed me, you know?
Yeah.
And so, this week I began my experiment. Did you do this by any chance? Did you just have this in your brain at all?
No, I didn't. And we could talk about that after you talk about how your experiment went. But I sort of take umbrage with it. And we'll talk about it in a little bit.
Oh, take an umbrage, son. Why don't you take up a shovel and just dig your own grave?
Oh, I will lead you into a creek.
I'll show you where the last five people that took umbrage with me are buried. Anyway, so complete failure. Yeah. Because not complete failure, but come Monday, someone brought up a time when I was a jerk to this particular person, uh-huh. like 2 weeks prior. And so I couldn't dodge it. And I had to call us back. I was like, I am sorry.
A retroactive apology.
However.
Yes.
There was sometime this week, International Tomato.
Okay.
Yeah. On Monday, someone was like, hey, where are the these files for something?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's not me. That's this other guy. And they go, no, that was assigned to you. And I was like, oh, no. And so it was totally late, totally flipped out, and like stressed out or whatever. But I did not apologize.
Really?
Yep. I turned it in and I go, here you go. And I admit, I was like, yep, I totally thought I had this other thing, but here they are now. Did not say I'm sorry, though. And you know what? I liked it. I liked it.
Well,
David.
As long as you liked it. Because were you sorry? Like, did you feel
you
bad?
You know what?
I was
a little sorry.
Okay.
But I'm not going to do that.
You're not going to show weakness?
No. I'm going to spread my scent all over the office there.
Yeah. You're not going to give that coworker who works alongside you the feeling of superiority for some reason. I don't know.
I don't want superiority, just, you know, like, because it's that kind of thing I was talking about, like, oh man, I am sorry. But mm-hmm. like, am I genuinely sorry? Like, I wish I'd gotten it done earlier. Yes, but I kind of don't, like the next day, I don't care.
Okay.
And so it's more just that I have sort of like a general politeness than it is sort of like, you know, this outpouring of emotion.
Right.
And I'm going to try and save that for an outpouring of emotion. I will be polite, like, oh, pardon my lateness or something like that. But okay. You're not going to hear the words I'm sorry out of me unless I am genuinely sorry.
Well, bully for you.
Oh, all right. Now take some umbrage.
Here's the problem I have with it. I feel like this experiment started because you've been spending too much time with yourself. You hear yourself apologize too much. And this occurred to me the other day. I was on the bus and I bumped into somebody and I apologized. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. For that same reason, you don't want to get shanked. It's a courtesy.
Yeah, you want to tell that person you're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, and for a split second, I thought about the great apology experiment of 2010.
It's not... Go ahead.
Okay, well, whatever. And I might oversay it, but I don't overhear it. And it would be... It would be refreshing if someone had bumped into me and apologized. I wouldn't want them to be a part of some experiment where they bump into me and don't say anything. Like, I just want that courtesy, you know?
Well, it's being courteous. That's a good point, though. But it's being courteous without being like, I'm sorry, you know, or something like that.
Because if I'm around you all day and I hear how many times you say I'm sorry, if you were to say sorry to me, I'd be like, eh, it kind of lost its value. But if I see you sparingly.
I know those people, though, who like over-apologize for everything now.
They're Canadians.
And it kind of kills you after a while.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Doug the Canuck from Great White North.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
The only thing he doesn't apologize for is a show.
Oh, jeez.
I'm kidding. He's a nice guy.
Keeps winning those Silver Mic Awards out of, I believe, pity.
Oh, wow. That was weird. But no, I...
Co-op's favorite show on Co-op.
And look, I over-apologize, too. I'll admit it. I'll freely admit it. And I apologize.
But you're right. And it is sort of like not being able to get out of my own head. But it's sort of... It grew from trying to be... not worry about stuff so much. Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. And I applaud that. And I also applaud owning things. Like, you know, it's you know, if you don't feel sorry for something or if you don't want to apologize, then don't. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Great experiment is over. I will no longer consciously try to do one thing or the other. Just try and...
why don't you be Mac?
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I see how it is.
That's going on a shirt.
Why don't you be Mac? Oh, man, that squirrel thing just blew in front of the studio again.
Oh,
we should take a break.
We're not going to leave, are we?
I'm scared now.
All right, am I playing or are you playing?
Why don't you play something because you're standing right next to it.
Whoa!
Or I could play something.
Whoa! Now I'll play something.
What do you got?
Oh, let's go.
David Hatta.
Brian Album.
Brian Adams?
No. Brian Olive.
When you really love a woman.
Get ready to hear that at the wedding.
You got to make her a mask. You got to take a ball gag. If this is a request from Brian Adams, you owe me money. All right. KOP, you're on the air.
Hey, I had a question for Mac.
Shoot, who is this? Caller, what's your name?
Mike B.
Oh, Mike B.
What up?
What's going on? Mike B of the Chronicle. What's going on? Softball team.
Not much. I was just listening to your conversation about, you know, not wanting to apologize and whatnot. I was wondering, you know, do you have any issues with, you know, if you were to say, oh, I apologize, or, like, oops, my bad, you know, something along those lines? Are you avoiding all those phrases altogether, or?
No, I just particularly, I'm sorry. In fact, I think oops, my bad, I think would be perfect.
So it's not just the verbiage. It's the total act of contrition.
Well, because I don't mind being contrite.
Okay.
I just don't want to be like, man, I'm sorry all the time. Yeah. So like an oops, my bad. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a gray area. I feel like you should go full tilt on this one.
I don't know. I like the oops, my bad.
All right.
Yeah, well, I've been a fan of oops, my bad for a while. So, you know, I just thought.
But I feel like that. There. I feel like that's sort of a cop out. Like, you know, if you're genuinely sorry for something, it's like, hey, brother, I slept with your wife. My bad. Like,
my see, bad.
But then you would actually say, I'm sorry. Or
I wouldn't.
I would run for my life.
Stop sleeping with my wife, Mike B.
His bad.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, take it easy.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Mike B, one of the murderous row of the Alternative Softball League.
That's right.
Guy crushes it.
Fancy running into him later this season when they kill you.
I'll start crying. What are we going to hear?
Brian Olive from the self-titled album.
That's how you say Brian Adams' name.
Oh, stop. Killing Stone, more Mascot Winning Show, right after this.
Back.
Yeah. We just heard Brian Olive from a self-titled album, Killing Stone. You are listening to the Mascot Winning Show. My name is David.
My name is Mac. The phone number, if you want to call in, is 472-5667. 472-KOPAY.
Yes, lively phone debate today. I enjoy it.
We had a call during the break that said David's stupid.
What?
No, we didn't.
And I debated it, but I lost because I'm so damn stupid.
What did we just hear? Brian Olive, you already said that.
Yeah, who's stupid now, Dummington? This isn't going to be the show. I'm sorry.
Anyway, what's going on? What's going on?
What's going on is we got to do some house cleaning around here in the Mascot Wedding Land. There's somebody that we talk about pretty frequently on the show, usually negatively.
A frequent goat, if you will.
A frequent goat, yes, and not greatest of all time.
Nope.
And I'm ready to say we're done with him. He's dead to us, and I never want to talk about him again on the show.
Who are you talking about?
Filmmaker, auteur, Kevin Smith.
Okay, I really don't... You mentioned this, obviously, pre-show.
Uh-huh.
I honestly do not know why... Where this is coming from.
Yeah, I teased it when I was talking to you. But so you didn't hear about his Twitter rant?
No, please.
This week?
Please explain. What did Kevin Smith do? Because the thing with Kevin Smith is back in the day, we were both huge fans.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
I was a huge fan of his.
I was a huge fan, yes.
And then slowly but surely, I realized I hated him, and his stuff is awful.
See, I would go to more of a middle ground there. I would just say I went from a huge fan to an admirer to, okay, he exists and so do I. Let's leave it at that.
But at the same time, he is very personable. He's a funny guy.
Engaging.
Yeah. But all of his products are terrible. And like the way he sort of, his weird self-promotion is just like his, a little like universe that he's got. And the way he like, it's like, he's like, oh, hey, there's a lot of Dr. Pepper can shots in Spider-Man 1. Well, what's worse? Dr. Pepper or creating your own merchandise and having your character
yeah.
sell it.
Oh, man, Dr. Pepper paid way too much to be in that movie. Oh, Moobies, that weird fast food chain, that's just there everywhere.
Hey, Ben Affleck, wear this one shirt. Why? Because I'm going to sell it on my website.
Ah, jeez. Yeah, but you know what? I forgave that because, look, he's a... Look, if I could do something that could make money, that'd be awesome. I'd be printing shirts all over the place. I like that one about B-Mac. But he went on Twitter this week... prompted by somebody who was just talking about critics and how they don't get it and their old fuddy-duzzy, whatever. He went on this 18-tweet rant, which, by the way, if you are going to, like, voice your opinion, Twitter is one thing if you're just, like, going to Chili's, looking forward to it. That's what Twitter is for. Twitter is not for, like, really getting into, like, deep, in-depth debate. But he did and just posted this 18-tweet rant about how critics... are dumb and they're old and they need to be pushed aside and how they ruined Cop Out because they were expecting it to be art. I'm not going to read all these tweets. These are just like, well, first of all, they're ridden with filth talk.
Toilet talk, not safe for radio.
But yeah, but let's see. I'll just focus on some of them.
What was the very first one? How did it begin?
The very first one, he was quoting someone who wrote, I got to say that every day I hate film theory and film students and critics more and more. Where is the fun in movies? So Kevin Smith replies, sir, sometimes it is important to turn off the chatter. Film fandoms become a nasty blood sport where cartoonishly rooting for failure gets, new tweet, the hit count up on the brand new blog. And if a schmuck like me pays you some attention, score. More eyes means more advertising dollars. Maybe I will read some of these. New tweet. But when you pull your eye away from the microscope, you could see that, bad word, you're studying so closely is, in reality, tiny as, another bad word. You want to enjoy movies again?
Tiny as what? Someone's own genitals?
F.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, you know, like...
trying to anticipate.
Yeah, that catch-all word that he just uses instead of, you know, being eloquent. New tweet. You want to enjoy movies again? Stop reading about them and just go to the movies. It's improved film movie appreciation immensely for me. So basically what he's saying is just turn off your brain. Because actually he goes on to say, look, Cop Out wasn't art. It was just a dumb movie. And if you expected something more than just some laughs, then that's your fault and it's not mine. Here's the problem with that, though.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like so many people go to that well who make bad movies. Like Michael Bay went to that with Transformers. It was like, all right, you apparently don't like action. And Buzz was like, no, it was bad at it. And I feel like that's where Kevin Smith movies are going right now. It's like, look, just turn your brain off. I'm like, we did, and it was still terrible. You're not, these aren't good like they used to be.
You know, counterexamples aren't necessarily like proof that the opposite is true, but this movie, Green, the new Noam Baumbach comedy, it just looked like super painful. Like you got this like super sort of like man who's just decided to like super bitter or whatever, and just looked like, I was like, oh, this absolutely does not look like a movie I want to see. Mm-hmm. Read a couple reviews of it, giving it glowing reviews. Now I do want to see
it. Sure. Exactly.
Screw you, Kevin Smith.
Critics can help.
Plus, who is he talking about critics?
Here's where...
I mean, can you replace critics with, like, the internet? And then it's, like, the generic, like, bitching about internet bitching argument that everyone, including us, does, like, every day?
Well, see, that's where I'm sort of getting tired of Kevin Smith, is because he's sort of contradicting himself. Because he goes on in the tweet rant to say, yeah, instead of letting critics screen my movies, I'll just pick 500 people at random from my Twitter feed and let them go see the movie, which, by the way...
So you're going to pick 500 of your sycophants.
Exactly. So there's that. But he's sort of railing against the old guard, you know, the old critics who just don't get it. They're stuffy, they're fuddy-duddies, whatever. But also, he'll go on to sort of rail against the internet because, like, hey, you're just some guy in front of a computer. Like, he wants it both ways. And he can't have it both ways. But he does. Let's see, what else? What else? Yeah, because everything, there's... Every movie he's done has been, you know, more or less a failure if you look in the grand scope of things. Like his biggest moneymaker was Cop Out, actually, and it made somewhere around $40 million.
Uh-huh.
Which, by the way, how do you mess up a buddy cop movie with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan? I don't know. And how do you mess up a movie with Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks? I don't know. But he found other scapegoats to blame. He found the marketing department. He found the critics. Like, he won't accept any blame for himself.
You know, we talked about this when we talked about Zach and Miri when you and I went to go...
take a bullet for
take
it.
A bullet for that. Take a bullet for you.
Yeah.
The way he sort of is like... Like, apparently the famous scene in Something About Mary where something is used as hair gel.
Mm-hmm.
He claimed he wanted to do that another movie and that he sort of was like... He's like, man, imagine if I could have done that in Mallrats, how much money Mallrats would have made.
Yeah.
Or then he's talking about how like... The Judd Apatow movies, he feels like those are his movies. It's like, why are my movies banking? It's like that Avatar Surrogates thing. Like, or like Gamer. Like, I don't get it. Avatar is about controlling someone else's body with your own mind. That's surrogates
that's
money.
That's what surrogates
right
is. Yeah, exactly.
Why did America turn its back on surrogates but love Avatar? Come on.
I feel like you're missing a lot in that thread of logic. But here's where he officially lost me. One of his statements is, writing a nasty review for Cop Out is akin to bullying a retarded kid who is getting a couple of chuckles from the normies by singing Afternoon Delight.
What?
So what he's saying for that is that...
Shut up.
Yeah, he's basically saying, hey, it's easy to pick on our movie because our movie's dumb. But what he's saying, what he's doing by saying that is that, hey, everybody who worked on this movie, everybody who believed in this movie and took a paycheck for it and woke up at like 5 a.m., they basically worked on a dumb movie and I kind of feel sorry for them. Like, you're completely devaluing the efforts of everybody there. And you're also kind of selling... your own product down the river. Like, I just, I'm done with them. I'm really done with them.
You know, the self-deprecating, I don't know, a certain point.
Yeah.
Gets really, really old.
Which, by the way, like, he lambasts critics for pointing out the same thing that he does in his speaking. Like, he knows he's a lousy director. But when somebody else points it out, he hates that.
You know, what did you say right after lambasting?
He hates the fact that people point out the same things that he points at himself.
I mean, like, oh, it's kind of like what Patton Oswalt, he had that bit about deathbed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he's talking about how deathbed, the bed that eats people, is this horrible movie. But it was this horrible movie that, like, one guy wrote out the script, the other guy went to the sets, and he threw out his shoulder building the set, you know, and all for deathbed. Like, there's all this work into these, like, crappy things or whatever. And it's a real funny bit. Check it out, Werewolves and Lollipop, if that's your kind of thing. But that's the name of the album, sorry.
or if Werewolves and Lollipops are your kind of thing.
Yeah, but kind of old news. And plus, can you read that again, that sure. thing about getting the chuckles at a quote-unquote retarded kid?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I sure can read it. Writing a nasty review for Cop Out is
okay.
akin...
Writing a nasty review of his movie mm-hmm. is equal to...
bullying a retarded kid who is getting a couple of chuckles from the normies by singing Afternoon Delight.
So, he's saying that his movie mm-hmm. is like a quote-unquote retarded kid
his work.
Singing Afternoon Delight. So, normies, a.k.a. not, are laughing. That's what his movie is.
Yeah.
And then critics are bullying it for doing that. Thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, who are mad at the people laughing at the special needs child, them. Like, I just, I...
But why is a special, why are the... It's fine that the quote-unquote normies... See, no more... So you're proposing.
I'm proposing.
Because you've gotten mad at this guy for the last time.
Yes, exactly.
So you're... It's just not worth your time anymore to get mad at.
Look, you know what? Yeah, exactly. I'm done. I'm not mentioning him positive or negative. He might come out with a movie that I love, but I'm not giving him credence for that. I'm done with him.
But it's one thing to be done... with somebody, like, let's say there's a really annoying coworker,
mm-hmm.
like International Tomato.
Right.
But,
pick one.
Yeah, seriously. But this is just the dude out there, you know, in Hollywood making really bad movies. You don't think he'll ever do anything that you're going to want to talk about on the air again?
I'm sure he will, but I'm not going to.
And why aren't you going to? What's, I know because he's really stupid.
Well, no, I mean.
But what is the effect of you, if you talk about him, what happens?
Then he clearly just wants to be forgettable. He clearly,
Oh, so you're going to give him what he wants?
Exactly.
All right.
You know, he just wants to make dumb movies. Make your dumb movies. That's fine. But I'm going to know you the same way I know the guy who directed Can't Hardly Wait.
David, you stupid, stupid critic.
Seriously.
Shut your mouth, you
Sorry.
Old guard. No problem. Okay, well, there you go.
Cleaning house.
Kevin Smith will no longer be discussing the show.
Yes. Viking funeral for Kevin Smith.
Call in and ask us about him, and we'll pretend not to know who you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll talk about the running back for the Lions. Kevin Smith.
Well played.
You want to play some music?
I do want to play some music. This one right here.
Yeah, this is an album of covers by The Bird and the Bee covering all Hall & Oates. Hey, let me see that for a second.
Oh, geez.
I think there's some Hall & Oates show tonight somewhere at 8, too.
Yeah, Hall & Oates are playing at...
Oh, they are?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
At that one place that I always forget.
I'm
not good at this.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Chances are you already knew about it.
Right.
The Bird and the Bee, Interpreting the Masters, Volume 1, a tribute to Daryl Hall and John Oates. This is not the song I wanted. Let me see. Here we go. Private Eyes. More Masco winnings after this.
I see.
Yay, good for all of them. Mascot Winning Show back. And we have a phone call. Hang on a second. KOP, you're on the air.
Yo, what's up, D-Daddy?
Hey, caller, who's this?
This is T-Dank.
I'm sorry, T-Dank?
Yeah, it's your boy. Come on.
I have no idea who this is. I'm so sorry.
Trev Rolay, my man's Trev.
Oh, Trev, right. This is my coworker Trev from International Tomato.
That's right, buddy, the big round red one.
The big round red one?
You like that?
What is that? Is that your nickname now?
Well, that's a new, I wish my man. Except it's not red, if you know what I mean.
Okay, thank you for that. What can I do for you, Trev?
That's our new slogan we're throwing around the marketing department.
The big red round one.
That's what we're going to call it, the old International Tomato.
I gotta tell you, that's not terrible there, Trev.
Street team is gonna blanket the city. That slogan on bumper stickers. Have you heard about the new campaign we're working on?
No, I have not heard about the new campaign.
Well, look, let's say you have a ketchup bottle, right? Like an old school ketchup bottle.
Sure, yeah.
And you're trying to get the ketchup out of it, right? And you're holding it above your hot dog, your hamburger.
Uh-huh, right, yes.
So you're shaking the ketchup bottle, right?
Right.
What does that remind you of?
It reminds me of the process of getting ketchup out of a bottle.
Yeah, right. If that's what you want to call it.
Oh, I know.
And so we figured that we're gonna key into that.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't. If I know where
Did
you're
you
going.
See that campaign for Sobe, that energy growth drink or whatever that is, where Ashley Greene did body painting.
Yeah, I saw that where she wore like a painted on bikini.
Yeah, we're gonna do that too for International Tomato.
Really?
Yeah, we're gonna try and get Christina Hendricks.
from Mad Men. You're going to get Christina Hendricks.
That sex battleship.
Okay.
Mad Men.
I wish you wouldn't say that.
Oh, my God.
So you want to paint a bikini on her?
Yeah, we're going to paint her bazooms like giant tomatoes.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't say that either.
And then the tag is just going to read, "Hey, let's make some ketchup."
I don't like that at all.
Oh, it's going to be great.
That's not going anywhere.
What do you mean?
I mean, that's
huge.
That's a horrible idea. That's really kind of, it's counterproductive and a little vulgar, actually.
Oh, I think she's going to love it.
I think she'll hate it.
Can't wait to talk to her.
Oh, you're going to talk to her. You're going to talk to Christina Hendricks about this.
Yeah, of course. Got to get her on. Get her on board.
Do you have you been in contact with her? Do you have meetings scheduled?
Not yet, but we're working on it.
Okay, well, good luck with that, I guess.
No problem. Totally gonna love it unless she's some kind of prude.
I wish you wouldn't refer to her as a prude. I'm sure she's a lovely woman.
Oh, I know she's a lovely woman.
Okay, stop.
Well, anyway, that's not why I'm calling in.
Oh, okay. Well, why are you calling in, Trev?
I gotta tell you, DJ, I had the craziest night last night.
Did you?
Had to tell somebody about it.
Okay, well, you're on the air now, so I guess tell me all about
all the better. Wait, okay. Well, all right. I don't know if I want to tell everyone about it, but
well, you knew
why
not? You're calling the radio show. You know that.
I didn't know I was on the air.
Well, I'm sorry. I hope that doesn't change your story.
Look, the legend of the Trevrolet gets spread around. The more, the merrier. You know what I mean? The merrier being your audience.
I know exactly what you mean. So what happened to you last night there, Trev?
So last night I was chilling at Diversions Nightclub in Sunken Valley.
Yeah?
Because they had $2...
$2 Jaeger.
$2 Irish Jaeger blasters.
Yeah, the Irish Jaeger blaster. That's a new one.
Yeah, it's a regular Jaeger blaster,
uh-huh.
Which is peanut butter sandwiches dipped in Jaeger.
Yeah.
And now it's also mixed with Bailey's and also Jameson whiskey.
Oh, that sounds horrible. That sounds...
Oh, they're so good. Two of those will put you out.
Yeah, I bet. I bet they will.
So I was doing that, and I was playing that game at the bar, like the touchscreen game. You ever played those?
Yeah, the little TV screen game. I know those.
Yeah, I was playing that game, Erotic Photo Hunt.
Why am I not surprised that...
It's two photos. You ever played those?
Yeah, it's the game with the two photographs that have little differences, and you have to find the differences, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you're playing this, yeah?
You ever checked out who's got the high score on the machine?
At Diversions? No, I never have.
The high score name is Mount Treverest. That's me, my man. I rule it that game.
So you have the high score... In Erotic Photo Hunt. Congratulations.
Top of the mountain, my man.
Good for you.
And so I'm playing the game, and as usual, I'm ruling at it.
Okay.
And it catches the eye. He's wearing some weird head thing, and he calls over, and he's like, hey, you're pretty good. I was like, I'm the best. This guy says he's the best. And he challenges me to a Erotic Photo Hunt off.
Okay.
Turns out this dude is some, like, weird Saudi prince / film financier.
Really?
Yeah. And hey, if he wants to put a little money on it, I'm totally game.
Why am I not surprised?
And so, right?
Yeah.
And I'm killing him.
Oh, good.
I'm killing him in the girl one, and he flips the script and goes, "Fred Chippendales." And I was like, all right, you're lost, buddy. And I kill him in that one, too.
Okay.
I'm noticing all the things, like, in the Chippendales, like, there's 8 dancers in this photo, but over here there's only 5 dancers. Boom. This one dancer's missing a cufflink. Boom. Find it.
Okay.
I'm raking up points all over the place. I even improved, even got Mount Treverest to a higher altitude, if you know what I mean.
So you got a higher score on Erotic Photo Hunt.
That's what a new high score.
I got to tell you, Trev, this doesn't sound like the greatest night ever. I'm sorry.
Hold on.
Okay.
So I'm a guy, and he's starting to get a little hot, like a little annoyed.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, like, do you really want to play for some real steaks? I go, you know it. So we go back to his place. He's got this, like, gin in Sunken Valley. And there we play real-life erotic photo hunt.
You play, so he has, like, an erotic photo hunt machine at his place?
No. They're not photos, but
I don't know.
We had real people come in, and we had to spot the differences.
You played erotic photo hunt in real life. There was
on actual people.
How does that even work?
He had three sets of twins,
and they were all dressed alike, I guess.
Well, near identical outfits with five differences each. Yeah.
And you picked the differences out of these real people's scenes, I guess.
Yeah, did I ever? I was crushing him.
Well, good.
I was up like 52 large.
That $52,000.
Oh my God, I'm just murdering him.
This is just,
no one is better at erotic photo hunt, video or real life, than the Trevor Lay.
I guess not. Good for you.
And it's like 3 in the morning at this point.
Uh-huh.
And we play until like, and I lose some, I win some, but still, for the most part, killing this guy. And he's starting to get a little hot.
Okay.
And at some point, he decides he's lost too much money.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's just have a drink. But that drink must have totally had a Mickey Finn, because I drink it. Next thing I know, I wake up, I'm outside.
Oh, you're outside his mansion, yeah.
Yeah, in his hedge maze. And he comes over a loudspeaker, which I didn't even see. And he goes, all right, my men, we're going to play real-life Pac-Man.
So, hold on. So you're in this guy's a hedge maze, first of all, and you're playing Pac-Man in it. How do you even play? How do you even? Okay, I can't wrap my. How do you even play real life Pac-Man?
Well, he said that basically he put me in this hedge maze, and I had to play like I was Pac-Man.
So you're Pac-Man.
Yeah.
In this hedge maze.
He said that if I got through 3 rounds, he'd let me live, but he was keeping all the money I won anyway.
Oh, so your life was at stake here. So I mean, how did you do? This is so crazy.
I had to run around the hedge maze collecting all these pellets.
Uh-huh, like Pac-Man does. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, except they weren't pellets, they were methamphetamines.
Methamphetamines.
Oh my God, I was tweaking so bad.
Oh, so you were actually doing them. You weren't just picking them up.
Well, some I put in my pockets to sell later.
Oh, that's okay. Well, good work, Trev.
Yeah, and I had to avoid getting bitten. And then get all the power pellets too.
Wait a second. What do you mean? What do you mean bitten? You mean like were there
people? You know how in Pac-Man gets chased by ghosts.
Yeah. So in this hedge maze, there were people dressed as ghosts chasing you.
Oh, I wish there was people dressed as ghosts.
What does that mean?
I think they were actual ghosts.
You think they were actual ghosts?
They were making noises I've never heard a human make.
That's frightening.
It might have been the meth, but I don't know.
I'm going to say it has a lot to do with the meth.
Because I ate a lot.
Well, congratulations. I don't know.
Pockets were bulging with the other pellets.
Right, because you kept them in your pockets.
But they chased me, and then I'd be able to hunt them if I got to the power pellets.
Okay, and what are the power pellets then?
Well, it wasn't an actual pellet.
So what was it?
It was a loaded gun.
A loaded gun.
I shot a ghost until it was just eyes.
Like in Pac-Man, sort of.
So scared.
So you shot a guy, or a ghost, or whatever.
But here's the thing. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm so ready.
I'm totally awesome at video game Pac-Man. Totally awesome at real life Pac-Man.
You seem a little proud of that.
Dude, I totally breezed through all 3 levels.
Wait, why didn't you just leave through the hedges?
Come on, man. I was winning.
Okay, so, well, good for you. I'm glad you won.
I was on a real-life video game heater.
I guess so, a real-life,
sure.
You ever
played real-life Pac-Man?
No, I never have.
On meth?
No, clearly not.
It's frightening. It's good. Man, is it awesome.
Well, I'm just glad you're safe. I'm glad you're alive, and I'm glad you made it out of this real-life Pac-Man maze alive.
Isn't that insane?
That's I'll tell you what, that is some night, yes.
Oh, I know. Hey, by the way, I'm going to need a ride to work on Monday.
Why? What's the matter?
Well, I was kind of lost a bet, a side bet I had going this weekend, and lost my car.
Jeez, Trev, what did you bet on?
Well, you know, it's tourney time.
It's March Madness, right?
Yeah, and I thought Ohio State would win it all, but they didn't.
They lost last night to Tennessee, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I'll come pick you up Monday, yeah.
But I didn't just bet my car.
What else did you bet, Trev?
Well, I also bet a TV.
Okay. You bet
so your... I don't have one. Could you bring yours? Okay, I bet a flat screen TV.
I don't have a flat screen.
Well, could you just buy one then? Bring it in your car?
I'm not buying you a flat for gambling
debts. I bring one myself. I don't have the car.
Well, okay. Well, look, I'll take you somewhere to buy it. Look, I got to go. Okay, we're up against
but
the hour.
But you're bringing me that flat screen.
No, sorry. Goodbye. Goodbye. Trev. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to end the Mascot Wedding Show for this week. Clear Spot's coming up next. Why did I even point that out? Hot Rock for your Saturday night. For more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're having fun. Boing. I'm going to leave you with The Replacements. I forget which song because I'm going to say Lisa moved it. For Mac, I'm David. Clear Spot coming up next. Goodbye, Austin.